It's First Baptist Church, and I get to be the fill-in guy for David because he is gone, which is great. There's a sweet couple that, well, I didn't mean that. I mean, it was great. He's getting a vacation. Y'all don't tell on me now when he gets back. I mean, it's great that he's on vacation and having a good time. That's what I meant. I love David. There's a sweet couple named Richard and Sandy Bell, and they a lot of times are doing the iced tea for us, an older couple. They are really going through some tough times right now. Richard was diagnosed with lung cancer. Sandy has tongue cancer. He's going to have a CAT scan on Friday. She's going to have surgery on Friday. Their son-in-law was killed in a tragic accident in August. So we got a card for them that we just want you to just, even if you don't know them, just sign your name. If you do, you can write a little note to them. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put my expensive Mont Blanc Uniball here. It's not a Mont Blanc. It's like a Bic. So I'm going to, that was a joke that didn't work. So there you go. There you go. You can keep the pen. So if you need a pen, you got a pen. If you got your own, you can do that. But anyway, we want to just love on them and write a little note to them real quick. So we've got a piece of paper for you that's got some blanks to fill in. Somebody at the barbecue line called me the blanks guy, that when I come, I put the blanks there so you can fill those out and take that with you and learn a little bit. And if you're behind this column and you want to move, you sure can. That's okay. Hello, column people back there. We couldn't design the room any weirder than this, but we're over here. So feel free if you want to move. That'll be fine too. The beginning of the year, it's just the beginning of February, it's the start of the year. How many of y'all had a New Year's resolution you wrote down, you thought about? Nobody. Chickens. Chickens, all of you. My New Year's resolution, I was just telling them, was eat more sweets. That's what my New Year's resolution was. Because I wanted one that I could keep, and I can tell, obviously, with y'all, you've had some that you haven't kept, and so you didn't make any new ones because you didn't do that. So I want to give you a couple New Year's resolutions, in a sense, of some things in your life and my life. If we get these things right, man, this could be a great 2014. If we get these things wrong, we might end up at the end of 2014 and say, you know what, I wish I would have done this a little bit different and that a little bit different. How come I'm in the same place that I was before at the beginning of the year? There's an article that I cut out of the newspaper, and it was about Tweeter, the hi-fi store where you would sell like stereos and all that sort of stuff. Does anybody remember Tweeter? And then there's what's called Twitter, okay? So Twitter is a social media thing, at Greg Mott, if you'd like to follow me. It's on the back of your page. Twitter is a big deal. Everybody's got that. Tweeter is a bankrupt place now. They did not do well, okay? Now, here's what happened. A month before Twitter stock had their IPO, before they went out and they were able to be bought, some people thought they were going to get a jump on it, and so they started buying, instead of Twitter, they started buying Tweeter. Now, the stock symbol of Tweeter is TWTRQ, and Twitter is TWTR, just a simple Q at the end of one of Tweeter, not on Twitter. Shares of Tweeter Home Entertainment Group rose as high as 15 cents on Friday. That is up 1,400% from Thursday's closing price of 1 cent. And trading volume skyrocketed 14.4 million shares. And over the past year, the daily average was about 29,000. So Tweeter went from 1 cent to 15 cent, a rise of 1,400%. And then they sold, instead of 29,000 in a day, they sold 14,400,000 in a day because people thought that Tweeter was Twitter. But Tweeter's not Twitter, is it? And if you buy Tweeter when you think you're buying Twitter, then you're a twit, is what it works out to be, isn't it? So if you end up, if you're in the financial sector and you buy Tweeter for your client, you're like, we got in on this new thing. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's going to be the next biggest Apple. And then you find out you didn't buy Tweeter or buy Twitter. You bought Tweeter. You're in trouble. Now, we don't want that to happen in our lives this year. They were just a little bit off, just a cue missing, just a little bit of pronunciation, a little bit different, easy to get confused. But you don't want at the end of your year of 2014 to say, oh my goodness, I have been in Tweeter all year long, and this is where I am. So I want us to look in Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 is a great, great scripture. It's on the back of your listening guide that you have there, so you can read along. It's in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Now, Jeremiah is a strong book. Boy, he's telling you, hey guys, we got to get this thing right. We want to end up with Twitter, not Tweeter, at the end of the year, at the end of our lives. So here's what he says in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 11. Has a nation ever exchanged its gods? Meaning you take, instead of the real God, you take a smaller God. But they were not even gods. Yet my people have exchanged their glory for useless idols. Be horrified at this. Heavens, be shocked and utterly appalled. This is the Lord's declaration. Now, here it is. Here's the key verse. Verse 13, underline if you're taking notes, underline my people. For my people have committed a double evil. Uh-oh. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, that's number one, and dug cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that cannot hold water, that's number two. So here we have at the beginning of the year, if we can, to think about how to get our lives on the right path. And Jeremiah says, now here's the problem. Here's what's taking place. My people have committed two sins against me. They've done two things that are wrong. Number one, they've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. And number two, they've dug cisterns for themselves that cannot hold water. So the first point that we have that you got in your listening guide, I want you to write down, fill in the blank, choose the fountain of Jesus. Choose the fountain of Jesus. That's the first thing that he tells us, that they had done wrong, that they had chosen to trade him, the one true living water fountain, for cisterns, for cisterns. Now, here's the deal. One fountain over many cisterns. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. One fountain over many cisterns. What does that mean? You and I are tremendously distracted all the time. You find that? Tremendously distracted all the time. There's distractions coming to you all the time. Some person told me that a third of our day is spent recovering from distractions. So you're working on a project and somebody comes by your office. Can I ask you a quick question? You're distracted. You want to be helpful, and that's a good place. It has its place, but you get distracted. You're working on something. You're focused on something. Bing, your phone rings. You're playing with the kids. The phone rings. Text message comes in. You start grabbing. We're all addicted to screens, aren't we? We just start looking at it over and over and over. Anytime we get bored, our arm just goes like this. We just start grabbing our phone, looking at it. We get distracted all the time. Today, I was studying for a message on Sunday, and so what I do is I put on Pandora Radio on the computer where it plays just this nice. I found this station called Classical Music for Studying. So it's perfect preparation movie for you. But you know what? There's a commercial about every 7 minutes. Distractions, right? We have them all the time, and if we live a life of cisterns, we will live a life distracted. And what will happen is we'll continually be juggling these cisterns, continually juggling these wells. What a cistern is, it's like, you know, in Texas, when you go to somebody's ranch, you hear about a ranch, and they got a tank. That's what a cistern is. It's a tank. It's a hole in the ground. It's usually kind of got some limestone in it that they'd hewn out the rock. Rainwater would come in. They'd fill it up, and it would be like a well, okay? Not a well that goes down to a water plateau, but a well that catches the rain. That's the cistern, but they would crack, and they would go in. So we have wonderful cisterns in our life of work and of family and of friends and great things that are things, but they're not fountains for us. They're not fountains for us. Ross Perot took an intern to his house one time, and the intern, as he pulled up, the intern said, "Man, that is the biggest house I've ever seen." Ross Perot said, "You know how many things can go wrong in a house that big?" It's true, isn't it? The more you have, the more you got to maintain, right? And so we have these cisterns that crack, and he's saying, look, you've traded the number one thing, the fountain that overflows, for a cistern that cracks. A cistern that cracks. See, if our way of life is just juggling cisterns, you will live in maintenance mode your whole life. You'll just be maintaining stuff. But when we have the resource of Jesus Christ to be able to be the fountain that overflows in our life, now we got the right thing. Now we've got the right thing. Number two, to keep us on the right path, drink fresh water over stored water. Drink fresh water over stored water. So we've got all sorts of distractions. We're going to choose Christ over all these other things. He's going to be our central number one thing. We're not trading him for the busyness and distractions of the world. We're choosing him over everything else. And now when you have a fountain instead of a cistern, you drink fresh water instead of stored water. Now, I have a glass of water next to my bed. Probably a lot of y'all do. So you get a little thirsty at night, and you can take a sip of water. And so I've got a glass of water, and I walked out of my room today and headed on to the office, and that glass of water is still sitting there. Well, guess what? I'm not going to drink that same water tonight that I drank last night. And I'm sure not going to leave it for 3 or 4 days, right? I don't want stored water. I want fresh water. I want fresh water. So to be able to have fresh water, it's got to come from a fountain. It comes from a fountain. Drink fresh water. The greatness of God means that there's always something new. The greatness of God means that there's always something new. God can give us so many new things. What does God want to do new in your life in 2014? Maybe it's new in the fact that you haven't been going to church and you're like, you know what? We need to be a part of that. We need to be a part of the fellowship. My kids are growing up with no church background at all. And I want to be a part of that and growing up with that. Not my kids. My kids are growing up with too much church background. Okay, that's what they're growing up with. But being a part of something new. Maybe it's that you've never spent time reading your Bible each day, spending time with the Lord each day. Let that be something new. Maybe you've never been here today and you're like, you know, that's a good way to spend a Wednesday lunch. Let it be something new. Read a book, whatever it is, to get something new into your life. God loves new things. New things are all over the scriptures. Let me give you a couple examples. Mark chapter 1 talks about a new teaching. Mark chapter 2 talks about new wineskins to hold this new teaching. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we are a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says that we have a new covenant, a new contract with God. 1 Peter says that we have a new birth and salvation in Jesus. Ephesians 2 says that we're then a new man in Christ or new woman in Christ. Revelation chapter 2 says that we'll have a new name. God has a name for you. You don't even know yet that he's going to give you if you know Jesus as Savior. When you get to heaven, you got a new name coming to you. Revelation 5 says that there's a new song. Revelation 21 says that there's a new heaven and a new earth. And all of this is found, my friend, in the New Testament. God loves things that are new. It's great. But what do we do a lot of times with the Lord? We're in a rut. A rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out of it. That's all it is. Rut is just a grave with the ends kicked out of it. So let's do something new and let God do something new in us and fresh in us. That's drinking the water of Jesus, new water over stored water. Greatness of God means that there's always something new. Now, let me give you a couple examples of stored water. On the internet, I found this little article, and it said that Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise, they were in Miami in July 16th, 2011. They still married? I can't keep up with it. Of course not. Why would you be married in Hollywood after a few months? You know, of course not. So they're not married anymore, but when they were married, they swam in this pool at this hotel in Hawaii. Okay, cool. That's neat. That's pretty cool if you were there and, you know, got to talk to Tom Cruise or something like that. They swam in this pool. Well, somebody who was a pretty entrepreneur decided what they would do is they would bottle up the water from the swimming pool that they swam in. So they bottled up 4-ounce glass bottle containing of water from the pool that they swam in with them and their daughter Siri, which I've got Siri. iPhone Siri is what I've got, but they got a different one. So they started selling them the 4-ounce bottle of water for $100. You could get a 4-ounce bottle of water from the swimming pool that Tom Cruise and his wife and his daughter swam in, okay? Now, there's a Hebrew word for this. Sicko, okay, is what it is. That's what it is. Gross, sicko. You don't want to buy swimming pool stored water. Who cares who swam in it, right? Especially if they're little girl swam in it, for sure. You don't want to, like, baby swimming pool water. That's even grosser, right? So here's stored water that they're selling off. Let's take it a little further. For $455, Wade Jones in North Carolina, he says that he snared a plastic cup in 1977 from a concert that Elvis did. And there's just a little bit of water left that Elvis sipped out of. So from 1977, Elvis water, okay? And he's selling it for $455. He's going to sell the remaining few tablespoons on eBay. To me, that is like a great deal. You just keep making Elvis water. I mean, if he can live forever, he can drink water forever, right? So here we got here, I mean, Elvis water, stored water. Now, that's not what we want. That's not what we want to talk about. We want fresh water from God. But how much are we living off stored water? We're still in vacation Bible school. We're in our 40s or 50s talking about what we learned back then. We're talking about a sermon we heard 50 years ago. Man, give some fresh water, man. There's some great things going on of what God wants to do in your life and in my life. And I really have been challenging myself this year to have fresh water. I'm around the things of God all the time. I mean, I'm a pastor, preparing all the time. I'm singing songs all the time. I don't want to become like a banker with $100 bills. I don't want to become like a jeweler with diamonds. It's something so valuable becomes so familiar that I don't appreciate it anymore. That becomes stored water. I want fresh water that I go, Lord, look what you're doing in my life, in my church, in my kids, my family, my wife, my friends. Look what you're telling me in your word. Man, that song is fresh to me, though it's been sung, you know, for hundreds of years, whatever it is. Fresh water, not stored water. Number 3 on keeping us on Twitter and not Tweeter. Here it is. Quit digging and start discovering. Quit digging and start discovering. When you have a cistern, you dig it. When you have a well, you discover it, don't you? Cisterns are up to us. We got to keep digging. Oh, I got to keep doing that. I got to quit cussing and start using more Jesus words. And I got to go to church more instead of going there more. And I got to quit doing that. And I got never going to dig a hole that's going to be enough. Never going to be enough. I'm just going to keep doing it. Quit digging. And instead, start discovering. If you say yes to Christ, you'll find that it's a whole lot easier to say no to sin. But when your whole goal is to say no to sin, you don't end up with a yes for Christ at the end of it. Say yes to him and discover the well and be quenched in him because of what he can give you in your heart. Now you're able to say no to things a lot more free, right? That's what the deal is. And so we want to discover the well and trust in God's work, not our own work. Trust in God's work, not our own work. Now, let me read you a verse of Scripture, okay? Actually, a passage of Scripture, all right? Here's what we're going to do. It's Joshua chapter 4, okay? And the famous part of this, some of y'all might know verse 15. The famous verse of this is, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Choose this day who you shall serve. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. That's the famous verse in this passage. I'm going to lead up to that. I'm going to read you about 10 verses. And here's what we're doing. It's an exercise, okay? This is kind of group participation. And not that you have to say anything or do anything, but I want you to be thinking with me on this, okay? Here's what we're trying to do. We're going to look and say, what does God do and what did man do, okay? Because we're asking the question, are we supposed to be digging cisterns, man's work? Are we supposed to be discovering a fountain, God's work, okay? So it's going to give us a good recap of the Old Testament as well. So let's listen. And this is God speaking. When I say I, that's God, okay? That's the Lord speaking when we say I. Here it goes. Verse 3, Joshua chapter 24. Here it is. Let's listen for how many times God moves versus man moves. But I took your father Abraham from the region beyond the Euphrates River and led him through the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac, I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave the country, the hill country of Seir, to Esau as a possession. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron. Then I plagued Egypt by what I did there. And afterwards, I brought you out. And when I brought your fathers out of Egypt, you reached the Red Sea. The Egyptians pursued your fathers in the chariots and the horsemen as far as the sea. Your fathers cried out to the Lord. So what did man do? Man cried out to the Lord. That's good. So God put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea over them. Your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And after you lived in the wilderness for a long time, later I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought against you. But I handed them over to you. You possessed the land, and I annihilated them before you. Then Balak, son of Zippor, and the king of Moab set out to fight Israel. He sent for Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Instead, he repeatedly blessed you, and I delivered you from his hand. Then you crossed the Jordan and came to the Jericho, to the people of Jericho, as well as the Amorites, the Otherites, the Ites. And fought against you, but I handed him over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you. Two more verses. And it drove out the two Amorite kings before you. It was not by your sword or your bow. I gave you the land that you did not labor for and the cities you did not build. Though you lived in them, you are eating from vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. God is the one that does this. No, man, I worked hard. I studied and I got my schooling done and I'm here. Who gave you the brain? Who gave you the opportunities? See, here's the thing. Most of us were born on third and we think we hit a triple, right? We've been so blessed. We're born on third and we think we hit a triple. The fact that you are working right now is, praise the Lord, we all live in Houston, Texas with oil, right? Because if we were all like timeshare people in Phoenix, this would be the unemployment department, wouldn't it? Be a troublesome place. So did we build these vineyards? No, we didn't. But yet we're eating from them. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Praise you, Lord. God is the one that gives the fountains. And fountains are discovered, my friend, not just dug. And so if you are spending and you think your Christianity is to be about digging, I just want to encourage you, stop digging. Lay down the shovel and start discovering, because God can do something greater than you could ever imagine when we get our hands off the wheel and we let God take control. So that's our third out of four things that we would be able to know. Now, the last one, the fourth one is this. Realize that your identity is in Christ. Realize your identity in Christ is resources, your roles in life. Okay, now this is key. I want you to think about this sentence. This is, I think, going to really help you. It really helps me. Your identity in Christ is going to resource your roles in life. So take myself for an example, and many of y'all would share this. I have certain roles in my life, okay? I have a role in my vocation. My vocation is maybe different from your vocation, but we all have roles in our vocations, things we need to get done in our vocation. I have a role as dad. I have a role as husband. I have a role as friend. I have a role as a son to my mom who lives in Houston. So I want to be a good son and help her out and, you know, try to show her some things. I'm like, okay, this is the way you turn on a computer, Mom. We've talked about this. And right now I'm trying to convince her that a $50 phone is a sorry phone, Mom, okay? It's never going to get the text message with the picture of the grandkids. You know, it's like Saved by the Bell. It's like the army man with the big phone, you know, we used to have when you had a little army man. So I'm working with her. I'm helping her. I have a role as a son to try to help her with these things. Some of y'all have bad phones, I can tell, because you didn't think that was funny. I have this role, okay? So if I do this, for 8 to 10 hours a day, I do the role of vocation, vocation, vocation. I get in the car and I do the role of friend on the car phone on the way home, talking to people, trying to, you know, keep my friendships going. Then I get home and I have the role of father. And then I try to have the role of husband. And then I have the role of family member. And then I wake up and I do that whole thing. My tank is going to go down, 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 down. To pretty soon the kids I love, I'm actually aggravated with most of the time. The wife I love, we haven't had a deep conversation in a good while. We haven't been on a date in a good while. My job that I love becomes a burden instead of a blessing. And because the tank, and most of us are living on empty, we're living on empty and on fumes. We get filled up every once in a while, but we don't get filled up enough. The fountain wants to fill us. Now watch the difference though. If I live in my roles, I'm gonna run out of steam at some point. Okay, and very quickly, really, truthfully, because life's busy. But if I live in my identity in Christ, now watch this, my identity in the fountain that never is depleted, that never goes dry, my identity in the fountain of Jesus pouring into my life. Now he's pouring into me and he never runs dry, does he? He's always running. He's the living fountain. He's always running into my life. Now the overflow of my life fills my roles. So now because of my relationship with Christ, now I'm going to be a dad. Because of my relationship with Christ, now the patience happens as a spouse. In a relationship with Christ, now I can go into the workplace and see it not just as a paycheck, but as a blessing to be able to interact with people and to use my giftedness to further the good of society and the Lord's work, right? But if I got just my roles, then all I got is cisterns. And who's got to fill those every day? Me. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm out of resources. I'm yawning when I wake up, and I'm yawning when I go to bed. And I'm asking now, and my parents used to ask for it, and I thought, that didn't make any sense. I said, man, I wish we had nap times like y'all do in kindergarten. Right? My little daughter's kindergarten has nap time, and now I'm jealous. And I used to always hear people say that, I'm like, this nap time stinks. Now I'm like, nap time, yeah. Right? We want more time in the day. Can I get you anything? Yeah, could I have 2 more hours? Right? You'd like that better, wouldn't you? They say that a person's happiness, you'll be happier if you got 2 more hours of sleep a night than you would if you got a 10% raise on the course of a year. It's interesting, isn't it? Be happier with just a little bit more sleep than you would with a raise. We have to have the identity of Christ pour into us. And now my primary identity is what is exercising and filling my roles. So now my wife gets Jesus coming through me, not like, I'm a perfect husband. That's not what I'm saying. But she gets a resource in me that has a resource of love that's greater than what I can give as a selfish man. And she can give as a selfish woman, right? The two become one, the Bible tells us. And sometimes in our marriage, we fight over which one we became. That's what happens. I'm like, we became me, okay? Me. She's like, we became me. It's a new one. And that's what God's got to do, right? We got to have that happen. That's our permanent identity. Now let me say this. I'm going to say one other thing, and then I'm going to give you an illustration to close with. if you rest in your permanent identity, a believer in Christ, if you don't know Jesus, let me begin there. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you never trusted his death, his burial, his resurrection to be on your behalf and to forgive you of your sins, this is what you're missing out on. That's your new identity in him. That's brand new, being a Christian, not just you do Christian adjective things. You are a Christian. You believe in Jesus. You're a believer. If that happens, now watch, my permanent, yea, eternal identity now begins to handle my temporary insanity, okay? Temporary insanity is when I choose sin over righteousness. Temporary insanity. Temporary insanity is when I'm mean to the people I love, right? Temporary insanity is when I see it as a burden to help somebody. My permanent identity now takes me through the chapters of temporary insanity so that we can make it through, because life goes like this, isn't it? But if you have a firm foundation, you can ride out the curves when you got the firm foundation. Now, let me give you this last thing. I did a little research of what's the most expensive bottle of water. Now, most of us were like, you know, the most expensive bottle of water in our mind is like at Reliant Stadium, right, for $7. And you get at a Texans game, you're like, you ought to be paying me to drink the water here is what you ought to be doing. So you get it at some sporting event, and you've got the water. That seems like the most expensive bottle. Well, it's not really. The number one, the most expensive bottle, is $60,000 per 750 liters. So 750 liters is about like this. Somebody told me, I shared this before, and they said, Pastor, you wouldn't know this, but that's the size of a fifth. I'm like, I didn't know that. That's good information, though. I thank you for that. So I put that down. So we got, it's about that big, okay? So you got that. Some of you are like, what's a fifth? And some of you are like, I don't know what a fifth is. Okay, so the bottle's made of 24-karat gold, okay? It's a solid gold bottle. It costs $60,000 per 750 milliliters. The non-solid gold bottles, they're only $3,600, okay? The bottles come with a leather case, which ought to come with a car with a leather interior is what it should come with. The water contains 5 milligrams of gold dust, okay? So the name of it is the Acqua de Cristallo Tributo a Monganalini, okay? It's a mix of like Spanish and Italian all together, okay? What that means is more money than brains, all right? That's what it means. So $60,000 is what they got, and here's what you get. You get that one bottle of water. Then there's the Kona Nagari water, which is a lot cheaper, $402 per 750 milliliters. And what it is it's bottled and sold in Japan, and it's a magic bottle of water, and it says it'll improve your skin, it'll help you lose weight, and it'll reduce your stress, okay? Which really, that might not be a bad deal. If it'll do all those sort of things, you might want to say, well, I'll put down $400 to lose some weight, reduce some stress, and, be able to have good skin, whatever. You might be spending more than that already on Nutrisystems or whatever it is that's going on. So they got that for $402. That's the second one, the next most expensive. And then Philiko, which is a combination of phileo, no, that's a Greek word for love. It's not that. Philo, which stands for empathy, and Rico, which stands for rich. It comes together, and it's $219. For 750 milliliters. The bottles are shaped like chess pieces. You have a king chess piece and you have a queen chess piece, okay? If you're single, I just want to give you a little advice. If your girlfriend needs to drink water out of a queen chess piece water bottle, you need to run, is what you need to do. You do not know high maintenance until you have that girl in your life, okay? And if your dude needs the king chess piece, you need to run from that moment right there, okay? You do not need to marry that guy. He is not your prince, okay? That is not what's going to happen. But that's the way that they're shaped. So 60,000, 750 milliliters, then for $402, and then $219, the most expensive water that you could buy. Let me tell you what the most expensive water really is, though. It's Jesus Christ hanging on a cross. Far more than any bottle. It wasn't a bottle of gold. It was to give us streets of gold. It wasn't to make you and I a king and a queen. It was to signify that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It wasn't so that you would have some kind of false empathy and false wealth. It was so that you would have true empathy for folks that are in the roles of your life, and that you would have the riches of Christ to be able to shine out to them. That's what God wants to do, and he can do that through the living water of Jesus. So I tell you this in closing. If this year is going to be about Twitter and not Tweeter, if this year is going to be about moving forward and not bankruptcy, then it's going to have to be a year that you and I realize the fountain of Jesus Christ is better than any cistern that could ever be dug. And he wants to do something new in you and through you. That's what the Lord wants to do in us. And so let's go with 2014, just this beginning part of February. We don't have to make a bunch of resolutions about we're going to do this, do that. Let's just put our one focus on what really matters. That, at the end, you'll say, man, I'm glad about the kind of husband or wife or single I was. I'm glad about the kind of parent I was. I'm glad about the employee or employer I was. And I'm going to trust that God's doing something deeper in me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are the living water. Thank you that you are able to do your work, and we trust you with that. May we invest, Lord, in the right things, in the things of you. We love you, Lord. I pray for anybody in here that maybe they don't have a relationship with you. I pray that this would have just been a winsome message, that they would just be intrigued and be able to take the next step of asking some more questions. For those that know you, but that really we're walking in ruts. We're not after you. We're not walking after you, and we're drinking stored water. Father, that a fresh work would be done in their lives. For those of us that are drinking of you, Lord, let us realize how valuable it is. Take just a second, I mean, literally 5 seconds. Just pray and say, Lord, I heard you today. I heard you speaking to me. And I want you to do a fresh work in me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Wednesday. Thanks for having me. Be sure and sign the card. And y'all have a great day at work.